Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Rebecca Rogers is with me here on the line today. Rebecca, why did you get in touch?
Yeah, of course. So my dad had a stroke back in October, out of the blue, and it progressed to dementia and he needed full-time nursing home care, which was, you know, heartbreaking for the family and lots of things to deal with, picking nursing homes and everything. And a couple of months later, luckily I had access to his email, so I was able to change certain things so we could get access to his consultants, all of this kind of stuff. And then it came to that we needed to renew our house insurance, my mum's house insurance. And it had lapsed because obviously we didn't have access to his email at the time. So we went to go renew it. And because my mum's name wasn't on the deed of the house, it had to come from my dad. And because my dad never appointed a power of attorney, my mum then had to go to a solicitor. And he said that we had to apply for a decision-making order from the court. So in the meantime, the house insurance said, look, it's pending. We have it there. And if anything happens, you'll be covered. But we need to get that decision-making order because your father actually needs to sign for the house insurance. So we were a little bit kind of put back by that and didn't really know if there was anything else that needed to happen, if we needed to pay for electricity through his name, all these kind of things. So my mum kind of turned around to me and said, gosh, Rebecca, you know, if anything ever happened to me, I better make you my power of attorney so that you can have access to my account so that you can pay for my nursing home care. Because if I didn't have that power of attorney, I wouldn't be able to access anything. So we started the ball rolling and we said, right, so book an appointment with a solicitor, which is what normal people would think you would do when you're applying for something like that. And the solicitor said, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. It's all online. And we just kind of sign off on it. So I said, okay, grand. When someone says to you, it's online, you think it's going to be an easy process. And it was far from easy. Luckily, I'm quite techie, but even still, I found it quite difficult. There were a lot of hurdles to go through. I have to sign into MyGov and then you have to set up and verify and register and download forms, upload forms. You also have to go to a GP to get a test, which is 70 quid. Make sure that my mum is of sound mind. That's what we kind of assumed we would have to do something like that. €30 for the actual application. And then you have to go to back to your solicitor again. He has to witness it, have a second witness for it. And then you have to upload those forms again back online. And then when we got to the end of it, it said that I needed to go in and accept my role as the attorney, even though I'd already signed it and it was witnessed by a solicitor. But when I went back in to try and navigate through that system, it said I needed a public service card. Now, I never have a public service card. I always just go into the driver's license place when book an appointment to get everything. So I had to be verified and it said it could take several weeks. So it was just a lot of detail and a lot of work. And the reason why I made that TikTok video that's gone viral is because I don't think people realise, certainly we didn't realise, we just thought that my mum, because she's married to my dad,
well, she would have access and be allowed.
Absolutely, like she's next of kin, so she should be able to make these decisions, but clearly not. And a lot of people commented on that video saying they're in the same boat, it's too late for them. Certain people said they had to sell their house to be able to pay for nursing homes because they couldn't get access to their dad or their mum's account. Like it's really something that should be highlighted because it's only when you're in it that you actually realise, oh God, we should have had this done. So I kind of made it as an awareness to people to go and get this sorted and appoint some, even someone my age. I'm nearly thinking of appointing someone power of attorney.
I know, and you wouldn't have thought that. And it is well worth highlighting because I know quite a number of people have been in touch with you since you posted this video online and people who, as you say, maybe found out too late that they didn't have a power of attorney appointed. Stay with me, Rebecca. Áine Hines is with us on the line today as well. And Áine is a senior counsel and solicitor at St. John's Solicitors. Áine, who needs a power of attorney?
Well, as Rebecca has said, in fact, everybody should have a power of attorney, an enduring power of attorney in place, because if you don't have one, it does create real, real challenges and difficulties for people. And it's great that Rebecca is taking the opportunity to highlight this and that you're taking the opportunity to highlight it. an enduring power of attorney is a really, really good legal instrument. It means that if you do lose capacity in the future, somebody else can manage your affairs easily without having to go to court. And it's unfortunate for people that, you know, they do have to go to court, and it's already a difficult enough situation for people to be in that they can't get house insurance or they can't do the simplest of things. But the legal position is that just because you're next of kin, you don't have rights over somebody else's.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Affairs.
So the power of attorney on you trumps the spouse or next of kin.
Well, yes, it does. A spouse or a next of kin, unless they're legally appointed to do something for somebody else, they can't actually do it. And I think, you know, I think people probably are not quite aware of that.
No.
And I suppose there are some good reasons behind that, because some of the decisions that can be taken under the enduring power of attorney by the attorney in the future can, you could sell the house. You can decide where somebody might live. It's a very, very powerful legal instrument.
So it's not just typically when somebody maybe, you know, is ill or are not in a position to make decisions for themselves that you appoint a power of attorney. I mean, really, all of us should.
You have to do an enduring power of attorney when you have mental capacity, and once you lose mental capacity, you cannot do an enduring power of attorney. And that's difficult for people, and they end up in the very difficult situation that Rebecca has found herself in relation to her father's affairs.
So what has happened right now, Rebecca? So you're now the power of attorney for your mother.
Well, it hasn't gone through. It hasn't been accepted yet. It has been submitted, and it's in review. But from what people are saying online, there's a girl who said, I've put it through, it's been submitted, and it's been months and months and they haven't heard anything back, so I don't have high hopes. But in relation to my dad, the decision-making order is still in process also. So yes, we have house insurance. I said it's pending. Look, it's kind of like, if in case anything happens, look, you are covered, but they know that we're in the process of getting decision-making order. But for my mum, it's still pending, and just like Anya just said, you have to be of sound mind to appoint a power of attorney. And only then, if she loses capacity, we then have to apply to the courts to enact that power, enduring power of attorney.
So I suppose, Anya, from a, you know, a legal perspective for all of us listening to this today, I mean, whatever about maybe having your will in place and perhaps you know who your next of kin is, and even if you have a spouse, you're probably as well appoint somebody as a power of attorney when you're in a position to do so.
Yes. That's absolutely right. And I know the decision support services have been highlighting that really everybody should have an enduring power of attorney. The sooner the better. And, you know, life is challenging and you just don't really know what's around the corner. So it's better to be prepared in advance so that your family can manage things easily for you.
Mm. And also it's for things like, as Rebecca mentioned, it's the house, it's the home insurance, and I suppose other maybe life assurance or pension policies that it's needed
everything.
For this.
That's why it's such a powerful instrument, because you give somebody the power to do everything around your house, your insurance, everything. All your money in your bank accounts, you're giving somebody incredible power in the future to do all of these things. But not only that, you're also giving somebody the power to decide where you might live.
Is it typically always a family member?
Yes, attorneys would typically be family members.
Yeah. So you're obviously going through this process, your ongoing process, Rebecca, at the moment, and you wanted to highlight this because I suppose, like the rest of us maybe listening today, you only found this out as the process went on. How is your dad?
He's not great. He can't make new memories. Luckily, he knows who we all are. But there's a lot of, you know, falls and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for the whole family, but particularly my mum, because she has to think of all of these things and what she's not able to do. And it's really, really an awful thing to go through. And it's only when I highlighted it that I realised, okay, I'm not on my own in this. There's a lot of people going through it. It's heartbreaking, and having to do all of these steps is so stressful, particularly for a family who's already going through so much. So I just kind of said to myself, why isn't it so easy? Why couldn't we just go to a solicitor and say, look, it's different if it was somebody not in the immediate family, but if it's someone like a daughter or a son, you should be able to just go into your solicitor, obviously go and get your doctor's certificate to say that she's of sound mind, but go into the solicitor and just say, look, this is my daughter. I would like her to be my power of attorney. And they just sign a letter and that's it. I understand there are steps involved because of people taking advantage of elderly people. I do understand that. But when it's immediate family members, it should be straightforward. It should be.
Retrospectively on you, there's probably nothing that can be done.
Well, under the old system, we had 1996 enduring power of attorneys. You would typically be able to do them quite quickly in the way that Rebecca is describing. And I suppose what Rebecca is describing is some of the challenges that people are having navigating a new digital system that has come in since 2023. And from the Law Society perspective, we're working very hard with the DSS, the Director of Decision Support Services, to see what we can do to help this process be more smooth now for people.
Just to cut across, even when the solicitor told me it was all online, the next sentence he said was, good luck with it, it's an absolute nightmare.
Really difficult to try and maybe navigate as well. Well, look, I think it's definitely worth highlighting for people today, and thanks for getting in touch. That's Rebecca Rogers there and Áine Hynes. Áine, of course, is Senior Counsel and Solicitor at St John's Solicitors. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's remarkable the number of people getting in touch about this who've actually found themselves in a very similar position to Rebecca. The email, if you want to share your own story, as I said, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.